joy to be saved, didn't it?
Amen.
Amen. And I really appreciate that. And I appreciate your preacher calling us back and being a friend to us. That means a lot. And I tell you one thing I've noticed about the church. Number one, beautiful property. God's give you a good place. God's give you a good man of God. But number two, probably one of the most friendliest churches I've been in, preacher. And that means a lot. You don't know what a missionary's going through. Brother, we go through places and people, you walk in and they're like, who are you and what do you want? But when you go into a place and they don't care who you are, they care, but you know what I'm saying. But they just want you to feel at home. And I really believe with all my heart, my family can say this, we really feel at home here. And I mean that with all my heart. It's very important to keep that up. Because it's not in a lot of churches. It really is not. But I'm introducing my family. This is my dear wife here, Miss Tiffany. And I'll be married 12 years this August. Is that right, honey?
You better get that wrong.
Yeah, 12 years. I'll hear that 2 hours all the way home. And but yeah, 12 years in August. And this is Miss Autumn Grace. She's 6 years old. We appreciate her. Got a 2-year-old daughter back in the nursery. Her name's Emma Faith. And Emma's come a long way on this thing called debutation. And she's at that stage where you got to beat the devil out of her about every 5 minutes. And but she's come a long way, but she's doing really good. And I'm going to let this little fella here introduce himself.
My name is Garrett, and I thank the Lord for saving me, and I want to help my dad tell Hispanic people about the Lord.
Amen. Man, real, real good and loud, Psalm 100.
Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence.
Amen. Joy to be here, and anytime you got health and strength to come to the house of God, it's a blessing. There's a lot of people that woke up this morning that wanted to come, that thought they were going to come Saturday night, hey, they weren't able to. They didn't get a chance to. But I appreciate the Lord having another day of mercy on us, and we appreciate that. And I won't be very long tonight. I'll be brief and about what the Lord's called us to do, and I'll bring you a message and pray the Lord to use that. But we are the Hill family, and I introduced my wife, Miss Tiffany, Garrett, Autumn, and Emma, and we're church plant missionaries to the Spanish-speaking people of America. The Spanish-speaking people of America. Did you hear what I said? Of America. God has brought the mission field to the United States of America. And I love Mexico. When I was trying to figure out, or not figure out, but trying to get the Lord to reveal the will of God for my life, I knew the Lord wanted us just something about the Spanish-speaking people, but didn't know if it was in Mexico or anywhere else besides there. But I didn't know it'd be the States. But I'm glad God, in His infinite mercy, showed us exactly where He wanted us to go. But I got saved at 19 years old. 19 years old, was brought up in church, played the Christian, just done whatever I wanted to do. But it was when I was 19 years old, God really convicted my heart about what I was and who I was in front of Him. But when God rings your number, rings your bell, bless God, you'll do something about it. And I got saved at 19, and the reason I'm saved, I'll say this, I had a mama that brought me to church. Had a dad, didn't want to go to church, wasn't saved, he's saved now, but didn't care nothing about God, didn't want to love on God and anything like that. And a man can't do that that's not saved, because he's in the fleshly state. And my mom got saved. The reason my mother got saved is because of this. Everybody probably knows Dr. Bobby Robertson. Walkertown, North Carolina, Dr. Robertson knocked on my mother's door, led her to the Lord, and bused her to Gospel Light Baptist Church. And she got saved and went there for a number of years, but I kind of got out of there and went to another place that's a little bit closer to the house. But anyway, I got saved at 19, but God began to stir my heart. God called me to preach. At first, I married my wife. Let me get that straight. Don't take that against me, honey. But got saved and got married. And man, that was a great day in my life as well, and I appreciate her following wherever the Lord wants us to go. She said, I'll follow you anywhere the Lord wants you to go.
Amen.
That means a lot.
That's right.
It means a lot, because without a mate or without my wife, a man don't have a ministry. And but I appreciate that. But got saved, got married, and then after that, the Lord called us to preach. And for some unknown reason, I didn't know at the time, but now I do know why. But I kept more Spanish tracks in my truck than I did anything. Just had an overwhelming, just a desire to be around them, to love on them, to want to share Christ with them. And I'll never forget. I was at McDonald's a while back, long time ago, and I gave those gospel tracts out, and I had a Big Mac, not being carnal or nothing like that, but I like Big Macs, amen, right there. I had a Big Mac in this hand, had my drink in this hand, and God said, won't you give him Spanish-speaking people some tracts? I said, okay, Lord. So I put my food down, like many Baptists do. They'd keep on eating with me. But I put it down, and I went over and gave them a tract, and they went all the way across the parking lot over at Big Lots in Lexington, and I actually sat down on a speed bump. And they took them tracks out and opened them up and read them. Man, it broke my heart. Broke my heart. And I'll be honest with you. I believe with all my heart the most open people to the gospel right now in the States are Spanish-speaking people. I really believe that with all my heart. Now, they're the most openest people to the gospel. And I'm going to say this. Did you know right now, present, let me get this across, in America, I always say, right here on American soil, where you live and where I live, right now in America, there's anywhere from 50 to 55 million Hispanic people that's living on American soil right now. 50 to 55 million. North Carolina is the fourth largest state that houses the most Hispanics. The fourth. But let's move a little bit further. If Jesus does not come, which I really believe He is, He's on the way, He's nigh. But just say if He don't come for another 20 years, or 25, 30 years. They estimate that in America, now get that again, in America, by 2050, there'll be about 155 million Hispanic people that's going to live right here in the States. And usually, a lot of times, I'll be honest with you, looking at an honest missionary. I want to be honest with you. We go into a lot of places, preacher. And when you mention you're going to the Hispanic people in the States, you'll see a lot of people do this. They put their head down. It ought not ever be said about God's people, we're prejudiced. That's exactly right. Hey, because all of us are offenders of God's law. And God had mercy on all of us, no matter who you are, what color you are, anything. Hey, God loves us no matter who we are. But those Spanish-speaking people, about 75% of them right now in America, 75% of those Hispanic people that's here, 75% are from Mexico. Has anybody ever been to Mexico? Lot Sluvy's been there. I'll be honest with you. If I had to live in those conditions, and I caught a glimpse of what we had in the States, I'd be bringing my family here too.
Amen.
That's exactly right. And you're looking at a preacher, I'm against illegal immigration. I believe they ought to do it right. But I'm going to tell you, I've been there and had to live in some of those conditions. And brother, I'd try to bring my family here too. But you know, number one, those Hispanic people, they need to be saved. You know, they're blinded by Catholicism. Catholicism, that's inbred, indoctrinated them. From the time they're brought up, they can walk and talk. I mean, their mom and dad take that Virgin of Guadalupe, that Mary there, and they teach them, hey, she's the way. Hey, don't let anybody can sway you or persuade you from anybody else. This is our door to heaven. Right there, that's her. And that's the same way we take our children. Well, we ought to say amen right there. We teach them that, hey, Jesus Christ is the only way. The King James Bible is, hey, that's the true Word of God. Nothing else is. And they indoctrinate those children a lot better than you and I do sometimes. But they need to be saved, number one. They need the Spirit of God to take those scales off the eyes and off that heart and show them Christ high and lifted up on the cross, bleeding and dying for them. They need to be saved, number one. But after they get saved, that's something believe that a lot of people overlook sometimes is, discipleship.
Right.
Discipleship needs to be done.
Yes.
But number one, they need to be saved. They need to be discipled. But number three, after that, we want to do this. We want to take those men that's been called by God and number one, train them. Train them in the Word of God and turn that man loose at that work that we've already started. And I'm going to take off. Of course, I'll keep my eye on him. And I'm going to go on down the road somewhere else where we've prayed and where the Lord reveals us where He wants us to go. But right now, it's not something I'm talking about doing, not something that I wish to do, but for the past 2.5 years, I've had the privilege to do that. We started a work over in Thomasville, North Carolina, probably about maybe 2.5 hours, 3 hours from here. We started a little work over there. The name of the church is Mission Bautista Porque Él Vive. What that is in Spanish is because he lives Baptist missions. And I won't take a whole lot of time. You can look at it on our display, but I hadn't talked to Brother Daniel today, but we've already turned the work over to a man that's fluent in the language. And you say, you're not fluent in the language. No, I'm not. I'm not. We know about 20% of the language, and we've turned that work over to him. And, I mean, man, well, we've over 2.5 years, we had 22 people saved in those 2.5 years. I mean, brother, God done a work. God done a work. God still continues to do a work. Dr. Alan Barker, my field director before he took a church in Yadkinville, called me just a few months ago before we gave it up to Brother Daniel. And he gave us a church van. And they're running the bus, the van right over there. It had 11 little boys on the Hispanic route last week that was exposed to the Word of God.
Amen.
And thank God for that. But we've already turned it over. And this time, why don't you make a matter of prayer for us? Of course, pray for our safety. Pray that God would open more doors for us that we could continue to do what God's called us to do, to raise our support so we can make it to the field. But before we go to the field, we've got to do this. We've got to go to language school. And when we get our support, we're about 30-31% in about 11 months. And we've got to go to Aguascalientes, Mexico. He'll take this map out here after service and just look at America and then look at Texas and then look below Texas, you'll see Mexico. And look in the center of that map, you'll see a place called Aguascalientes, Mexico. It's got one of the best language schools in all Mexico. And they want us to go there. And number one is it's because of this, the language. Got to have the language. And after that, what good is the language without the culture? I've learned just a little bit over there, being over there 2.5 years. And, hey, their culture is totally different than ours. Totally different. And I find this out the hard way, preacher. You can't take an Americanized young man and try to start a Hispanic church that don't know nothing about the culture. I've learned that, and I really appreciate the Lord putting us through that so we can know a lot more. I still don't know everything. I've got a lot to learn, but I'll be glad when we get over there so we can learn a lot more. But I've got to get the culture. And I appreciate what the Lord's going to do with us, what He's going to allow us to do. And you pray for us. I believe, and I know it's my burden. It's something God put on my heart. You know, it may not be that important to you, but it's my burden. But I'll tell you this. I believe with all my heart, it's one of the greatest needs in the United States of America. I mean, you look, bro, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. I mean, just up the road, we passed a Hispanic store, Hispanics on the highway. I mean, they're everywhere. Go to Walmart. I mean, if you don't think it's a great need, go to Walmart and go to the grocery aisle. And the very first language you see is what? English. Up underneath English is what? Spanish. Go buy something, and I, Lord forgive me, but every time I buy something and open it up, I always open it up on the Spanish side. Used to make me mad, but it don't no more. I say, praise God. One day we're going to have it. But you buy something, open it up. What do you think's in there? English and Spanish. It's a need. It's a need. They come, they leave Mexico. Where do they come? They come to the States. They want a good job. Say amen right there. They want a nice car. They want a nice house. They want to live the American dream. Amen. That's what they want to do. But they do not realize what they're searching for. They need Christ. They need Him more than they need a job. They need Him more than they need anything else, because when everything's said and done, when the smoke of the battle clears, it don't matter what kind of job you've had. It don't matter what kind of prestige you have, what kind of suit you got. It don't matter anything else. What matters is what you did with Christ. Amen. And that's what they need. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you pray for us. With the Hill family going to the Spanish-speaking people of America, please pray for us. But you got your Bibles tonight. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. You pray for my cough. I had a cold about 3 weeks ago, and I've got a cough that don't know when to stop. I ask you to pray for us. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, read eight verses. You can be seated. I won't make you stand tonight. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. I like that. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers. Son, I tell you what, I like teachers, but man, I like a man of God to get back with the Word of God and got a backbone like a crowbar and just, man, just preach the devil out of me. That's exactly right. But teachers, you see that on TV now. I'm teacher so-and-so. I'm this and I'm that. Their teachers are not preachers. They're not men of God. Amen? It says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch, very important, thou in all things endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now you got to remember, Apostle Paul's talking to this young man of God named Timothy. He's giving him some valuable guidelines to go by. Valuable, very valuable. But he goes on to say, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. I like this also. And not to me only. He's talking about us. But unto all them also that love His appearing. Let's pray. Dear Father, tonight, thank You for traveling grace. Lord, thank You for saving grace and keeping grace. And Lord, I'm so thankful to grace. If it wasn't for grace, God, we wouldn't be nothing. And Lord, we're still not nothing, dear God. But I'm glad, Lord, that when You look at us, You see blood, the blood of Your Son. Heavenly Father, I thank You for that. Lord, thank You for saving us when we was 19 years old. Lord, help us tonight. God, I'm doing an impossible task myself, and Lord, I need Your help. I need Your touch. Lord, help us to be a blessing tonight. Lord, if there'd be one here tonight lost that don't know You as their Savior, God, I pray this be the night they'd be saved. God, help us. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to preach tonight with power, unctionize us tonight. Lord, we need Your help. God, I pray if there'd be one here discouraged tonight, Lord, You'd touch them. God, I will give You the praise, honor, and glory for what You're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. But you know, if you've ever done a study in the Word of God about the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, you realize that that whole book was wrote to a young man of God named Timothy. We know that young Timothy had a godly mother, didn't he? He had a godly grandmother. Man, thank God I've had that as well. I've had a goodly heritage, so to speak, as that song, as our pastor sings at our home church. And I forgot to say that, by the way. We are from Walters Grove Baptist Church in Lexington, North Carolina, where Dr. Jeremy Sims is the pastor. Amen. Out of the way. But he had a great responsibility that was laid on him. I mean, man, I look back in my life when I got saved at 19 and went to Bible college, and I thank God for the men of God that God has used in my life to tell me this. And remember, we're talking about valuable information. I mean, guidelines to live by, but that's all that whole book is.
Not just 1st and 2nd Timothy. I mean, the whole counsel of God's what we need. But I look back in my life and how that God's used different men of God to point me different directions. I mean, brother, I've had men of God. I'd come to church with a certain girl, and that man of God just somehow knew her mom and dad. Say, Brother Garrett, hey, leave that young lady alone. Leave her alone. She's going to mess your life up. Leave her alone. I mean, just come in, and a man of God knew one of my buddies would come in when I first got saved, and he didn't have the right Bible, and my preacher would look and say, don't you go to that Bible. You stay away from that Bible. I mean, different things I don't have a whole lot of time to get into, but God's used different men of God through preaching, through one-on-one counts. I mean, just by being a friend to the man of God. I mean, help me. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to do to this young man of God named Timothy. But you know, we see in chapter number 2, we don't have a whole lot of time to get into it. In the second book of Timothy, we see in chapter number 1, Paul is known as the preacher in verse number 11 in chapter 1. Also in chapter number 2, Paul's known as the pattern in chapter 2, verse number 2. We're a pattern. All of us are a pattern, whether we like it or not. We're all patterns. And you say, preacher, what kind of pattern? Paul was a pattern. You and I was a pattern. If you're living here, I mean, tonight you're breathing. If you're saved by the grace of God, you are a pattern. You're a pattern. I mean, the Bible talks about a pattern as a soldier. A soldier of the cross. How about an athlete? A farmer, an instructor, a student, a vessel, a servant. But we saw also in chapter number 3, Paul was known as the prophet. In chapter number 3, verse number 1. But if you look in chapter number 3, we got a little bit something different here. Paul's known as the prisoner. He's known as the prisoner. But if you look in chapter number 4, verse number 1, the Bible says he says, I charge thee. He gives him a great charge. And may I remind you tonight that, hey, all of us have that charge tonight. That charge is, hey, to get the gospel out into the highways and hedges all across this nation and to the uttermost parts of the world, whether it be Mexico or Brazil or wherever it may be, we've got a charge tonight that man of God gave Timothy. That same great charge is hurled out to the pages of history and time. That same great charge, we've got that tonight. Notice who that charge was in front of. It was in front of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we forget what we're doing. We forget what that cause is for, who that cause is to, and who that cause is in front of. It was in front of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. But he tells him in verse number 2, in chapter 4, he tells him to preach the word. Very serious thing. Hey, you can't get nothing done without this book. I don't care what's going on in your life or what's going on in the church. If that book's not present in this building, nothing will get done. I mean, hey, there ought not to be a new program or anything like that. If we'll stick to old-time worship, the old-time King James Bible, let the Spirit of God have preeminence, the Lord Jesus Christ have preeminence, and let Him search our hearts and be true, hey, we can get something done for God. But He tells them to preach the Word, and He tells them in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Verse 4, they'll turn away their ears from the truth. But verse 5, He tells them to watch. Verse 6, He completely changes gears right here. And goes to something else I believe is very important for our day and our time that we're living in. And you'll see what I'm talking about. He says, I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. And we know that the Apostle Paul was getting ready to leave this world. He was getting ready to lay his head down on a chopping block. He was getting ready to go on to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that bled and died for him. But he had a little message to leave to this man of God. Not to him, but to us. He says, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now listen to verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. He finished his course. I've kept the faith. And you know, preacher, I really believe with all my heart what he was trying to get him to say. Is trying to get him to see, excuse me. That, hey, young Timothy, everything you've seen me do, everything you've heard about me, I want to leave that with you. But most of all, verse 7, he says, I have finished my course. I really believe with all my heart he's trying to relay the message to him. If there's anything you do, young man of God, finish what God started with you. Finish exactly what God started with you. And I believe with all, I just want to preach with it just for a few minutes with the help of God on when I get discouraged and want to quit. And you know, preacher, I'll be honest with you. What I'm seeing in our independent Baptist churches today is this. God's people's tired. God's people's discouraged. I mean, brother, frustrated. Everything's going on. They're losing jobs. Everything's going on. You know exactly what I'm talking about. God's people are hurt. They're hurt. They want to know when this thing's going to come to an end. They need some help from God. But I'm going to tell you this. The answer to our generation that we've got today is not quit. If there's anything you and I need preached today, hey, we need to finish. Exactly what God's called us to do, we need to finish exactly what He's put us in. But you know, if there's anything in my life, I don't want to be known as it used to be. I don't want to be known as it used to be. I can remember when I was a young fellow, and I'm not but 33 years old, I'm still young. But I remember 9, 10 years old how the Lord gave us a Sunday school teacher, and she taught us John 3:16, taught us Romans 10:9 and 10:13 and John 6:37 and all those different verses that could lead us to salvation. Can quote all them things, and probably everybody in the building can. But you know that lady helped me out just as a 10-year-old boy. I can remember her still teaching Sunday school. But you know that lady, she quit before she went to heaven. She quit. And I can remember different men of God that God used in my life coming up after I'd gotten saved that helped me tremendously. I mean, men of God that had the touch of God on their lives, and man, God used them in a miraculous way. You know what? I can name about 5 of them tonight that I know personally. Quit. Not just quit preaching. I mean, brother, they turned their back on God and they ran. They quit. The people today let so many things discourage them from running this race that God's called. How about finances? If you're not careful, finances will discourage you. How about family problems? You and I can both. I can think about 10 or 15 different things in our lives about family problems. And man, finances can get you in a mess and get you discouraged. Family problems can, how about this? Future problems. Future problems can get you in a rut and make you discouraged and make you want to feel like quitting and throwing your hands up. But you know what? You don't have to quit. You don't have to struggle daily from day to day. But I think about different men of God. I think about David. David got discouraged. I think about Elijah. Man, Elijah really got discouraged. He wanted God to just go ahead and take him on out of here. But I think about this other man named Demas. We don't know a whole lot about Demas, but we know that he was helping the man of God. He was doing something. We don't know what he was doing. But we do know in 2 verses in the Bible, in Colossians and Philemon, he tells them, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Then in Philemon 1:24, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. They were fellow laborers in the gospel. He was actually doing something. Don't know what he was doing, but he was serving God in some capacity one way or another. But then you read in 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Not anything else, but I'm telling you what our problem is tonight. We've got our eyes on this present world. We've got our eyes on this current president and this problem and that problem. We've got our eyes on everything else, but we don't have our eyes on that world to come. And when all these problems build up, and it builds up just like a snowman or a snowball, that snowball effect just keeps rolling and gets bigger and bigger. I don't know about your life, that's what it seems like in mine. But it keeps going and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the next thing you know, the devil's slapping you upside the head saying, if God loved you, God wouldn't let this happen to you. If God loved you, He wouldn't let that happen to your baby. If God loved you, He wouldn't have allowed your health to go bad. If God loved you, He wouldn't have allowed this to happen and allowed that to happen. Let me remind you this. The devil's a stinking liar. He's a liar. And he's the father of it, the Word of God says. Don't you listen to that sorry rascal. He's a liar. But you know, let me ask you this, and I'm going to preach. Long introduction, short message. Where are you spiritually tonight? And I'm talking to myself. Where are you? Not where's your wife, husbands, not anything like that. Where are you? Where are you, wives, and where are you, children? Where are you spiritually tonight? You know the reason I say that? Because, hey, we need to examine ourselves every once in a while. Examine where we're at. Exactly with God. Are you cold on God? Are you lukewarm on God? Have you already quit on God? You say, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. It don't matter what you're going through. We've got a sympathizing Savior. Going to help us through everything we've got. Where are you spiritually tonight? Are you about to quit? Are you about to quit? Just listen just for a few more minutes and I'll be done. That you know, all of us, sometime or another, are going to have to be faced with a lot. And I'm glad God's not going to put on us more than we can bear. And you've heard that before millions of times. But you know, all of us are going to be tempted to quit. All you got to do is just quit. Close your Bible up. Just turn your back on God. Very easy to do, isn't it? But it's a high price to pay. Very high price to pay. But you know, when you're tempted to quit your race, I believe there's a lot of things we need to take our eyes off of. Say amen right there.
Amen.
And I believe there'll be a lot of things we need to put our eyes on. Amen? But you know, number one, very fast, when you're tempted to quit your race, you need to consider Christ in the road to Calvary. You need to consider Christ in the road to Calvary. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. We can quote these verses by heart, but they're very relevant for this message. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Man, thank God. Hey, there's two groups. You've got those, that one group that wants you to quit. You got that family that wants you to quit. That devil's family. But hey, you got some family members in your own family that want you to quit. Hey, that's exactly right. I got some in mind that think I'm nuts for traveling all over the country wanting to raise my support to go to win some people to the Lord that everybody looks down on. Why would you want to take your time and your life invest in those people? They want me to quit. But man, thank God you got those great cloud of witnesses. God's youngins and God's people that want you to keep marching for the cause of Christ. "Wherefore, seeing we also compass about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight," amen, "and the sin which does so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." If you look up that word endured, you know what that word endured means? It means he abided. He stood the stuff. He stood the ground. Now, no matter what God allowed to come on him, you got to remember, hey, he had all of our sin, suffering under the hand of Almighty God. I mean, all that sin was laid on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he still stood the stuff. And still was faithful to the end. Man, thank God for that. And it'd do us a whole lot of good to abide, to endure. Endure the afflictions like the Apostle Paul told Timothy. But let's move on. "Despising the shame is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now listen to verse 3. "For consider him." How about that? "For consider him that endured," that's that word endured, "against such contradiction of sinners against himself," listen to this, "lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." I mean, I love to think about the Calvary and the cross and everything, excuse me, that I think about the Lord done for me and done for you, done for the whole world. But you know, tonight, Jesus is our pattern for endurance. He is our pattern. I mean, He'll show you exactly where to go. He'll show you the paths to stay away from. He'll show you the right people to yoke up with. He'll show you anything that you want Him to show you if you'll put Him first. He's our pattern for endurance. Thank God for that. But not only tonight is He our pattern, He's our power for endurance. I don't know about you, before I got saved, I had an excuse in my heart. I just can't live it. And I couldn't. And I was telling the truth. You ever try to lead somebody to the Lord and they'll say, "Well, preacher, I just can't live it." And they're exactly right. You know, I think about being on deputation, what a lot of missionaries go through, and I'm not here to tell you no sad stories, because you're looking at a missionary that's having the time of his life. I love it. Anytime God calls you and puts you into doing something, but bless God, get to doing it. Hey, serve the Lord with joy, with gladness, as the Bible says. But you know, I think about the hundreds upon hundreds of pastors that we call. And I tell you what I'm hearing a lot now, preachers, this. We can't help you. A lot of our people in our churches have been laid off. This has happened and that's happened. That's what we're hearing. I'll just be honest with you. Hey, if we're going to do something for God, I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to get out of the United States economy. We're going to have to get in God's economy, because, hey, God's got it all. God's got it all. Hey, I'm going to tell you, Obama can't do nothing. George Bush can't do nothing. Hey, American people, hey, we can't do nothing. Hey, if anything's going to be done, it's going to have to be God. But we're going to have to get out of our economy that we're living in, get out of our box, say amen right there. And we got to live on God's economy, because I'm going to tell you this, hey, God can do it.
Hey.
No matter what you're going through, financial needs, spiritual needs, it don't matter what it is, God can give you exactly what you need when you need it. It's exactly right. But you know, I just had to make my mind up one day when I got a phone. I said, God, I said, you called me into this thing. You put me in this thing. Lord, all I'm hearing is, hey, we can't help you. And we got this problem, that problem. I'm going to be honest with you. If I didn't make my mind up, hey, and have Him as my power for endurance and think about my troubles and everything, hey, I got a field to reach. And I can't reach my field by getting support from Walmart. Can't. I can't reach my field by going door to door and say, hey, my name's Brother Gary Hill. I'm out of Macedonia World Baptist Missions. I'm trying to reach the Hispanic people. Hey, that ain't going to work. That's exactly right, preacher. But you know, a missionary gets his support from the local church. That's God's authority, God's sending unit. The only people in the world that has the business to send missionaries out. But you know, if I look on all my problems as being a missionary, trying to reach my field, and I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. If it takes me 10 years, I'm going to get there. I'm going to stay faithful. Say amen. By God's help and by God's grace. But I thank God, He's our pattern. He's our power. Thank God for that. If you're here tonight and you're discouraged, look at Christ. Look at Calvary. Get your eyes off your problems. Look at Him. Number two tonight, move quickly. If you're here tonight and you're discouraged, about ready to just throw in the towel. Number two, consider the converts. Consider the converts. Psalm 126, 6, the Bible says, he that goeth forth. I like that. He's doing something. He that goeth forth and weepeth. He's got a burden. Bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I mean, I think about these converts, and I won't stay very long on this point, but consider the converts. And I'll be honest with you, there's no greater joy in the world to see people get saved. No greater joy in the world, man, to see your babies get saved and see your family members get saved. See people you don't even know to get saved. But you know, converts can keep you going? They really can. I think about it. You say, preacher, how in the world can they keep us going? We get rejoicing from them. Man, thank God when they get saved, they don't have to go to hell, but we get rejoicing from them. Not only that, we get rewards from them. When we go out and compel them to come in, they get saved, we get rewards. But not only that, we have a responsibility. Not the preacher, not the missionary, but every one of us is sitting there, is saved under the sound of my voice. All of us has got a responsibility to those converts. Man, God bless your heart, brother. Thank you. Man, thank God. But you know, consider the converts. Number three, tonight if you're discouraged, you need to consider the consistent Christian. They've got problems just like you and I do. God's allowed them to go through things for a purpose. To help you and I out. Man, thank God God's let some consistent Christians cross my path. But hey, how about this? Consider the chastisement of God. How about this? Consider the comforter. Thank God for the ministry of the Spirit of God. Where would we be without Him?
Amen.
Consider the coming of Christ and crowns of glory. But lastly tonight, we're going to go to the house. How about this? You're tired. You don't know what you're going to do one day from the next. How about consider the children? Did you hear what I said? Consider the children. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, preacher, before I had kids, that verse didn't bother me. And I look at that little five-letter word, train. That's a big, weighty word. Even those five letters are not a very long, big word. It's easy to say, easy to memorize, very easy to learn to spell. But there's a great responsibility to that word, train. That's an everyday thing, an every minute thing, just a lifestyle every day. Your conversation, in other words, your lifestyle. But you know, I'll be honest with you, preacher, when I'm tired, there's times I feel like quitting. There's times when this don't go the way I want it to, that didn't go the way I want it to. There's sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I've considered quitting. I really have. And all of us would be liars if we said elsewhere. But you know, all I got to do is this. I can go in my children's bedrooms. And they're in there sawing logs. About the only time you can ever see them grow, or see, you know, because mine's wide slap open anyway. They're not night because they're tired. But I can go in that little fellow's room right there, 8 years old, and I can look at his legs, how they're getting longer. I can look at those feet, that's getting bigger. And look at those hands, they're getting bigger. And I think about this. I think about those hands and those feet. I think about those fingers. If I was to quit, and he didn't have an example, what's his hands going to hold? If I quit, where's his feet going to carry him?
Amen. Good preaching.
You know, if I quit, who's going to show him God? If I quit, who's going to show him how to pray? I think about my wife. If she quits, those two precious little girls I've got, who's going to show them how to be pure? I'm talking about whenever you make a decision in your life and you got children, you lay out of the house of God, your man of God leaves, if he goes preaches somewhere else and you got somebody in the church and they come in and hey, preacher's not here tonight, we're just going to lay out of church. That's real good for you children.
Right.
Teach your kids how to have preacher's religion. Say amen right there.
Amen.
That's exactly right. But I'm talking about considering the children. Every decision you make, whether we like it or not, hinges on those kids' eternity.
Right.
It really does. We need to think about our children. We need to think about all these things. But I'm going to tell you what we need to do more than anything in this world. We need to finish. I think about Noah finished the ark, didn't he? Noah finished the ark. Moses finished the tabernacle. Nehemiah finished the wall. No greater example than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself when He said this, "It is finished." Man, thank God for the redemptive work that He done. But you know, we need a reserve. And what I mean by that, years ago, and you're going to think I'm a nut, but years ago I was riding four wheels with my dad. Don't get to it very often now. We're busy and I didn't know what a reserve was. Can you believe that? Run out of gas, and my dad had left me and come back, and he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I didn't want to tell him how I really felt because he'd knocked me off the four-wheeler. But I said, Dad, I run out of gas." He said, "Did you cut your reserve on?" And I said, "I didn't." And he showed me exactly what that reserve was and what exactly it done. And I got down there and turned that little reserve on the bottom of that carburetor, that four-wheeler. You that don't know that what a reserve is a little part of that gas in that gas tank that's set aside in that tank. Just a little bit. When you run out of gas, you can switch it over to get you some help. Get you further on down the road. And I really believe with all my heart the reason a lot of God's people's quit is because of this. They don't have a spiritual reserve. They don't have a spiritual reserve. Do you have a spiritual reserve tonight? And I think about this. How many of you ever have more? Let me see how to say this right. How many of you got more month than you got money? I about said money and got month because that's never been the case in my life. But you know how many is like, all of us. You know, instead of worrying and fretting where this is going to come from, where that's going to come from, all I got to do is gaze back. And a lot of people say, hey, don't look back. I know the Apostle Paul said, hey, don't look back on those things that are behind. You need to look forward, press toward the mark. But I'm not contradicting Scripture, so don't get me wrong. But there are some things you need to look back on. But you know, I can look back in my life, and I can think, instead of worrying and rubbing my hands together and say, God, I don't know where this money's going to come from. I need this. And sure, God knows you need it. God knows before you even ask. But I can look back and say, God, I remember when you met this need. I remember when you met that need. I remember when you met that need and that need and that need. Hey, has God ever done anything for y'all?
Yeah.
Exactly right. But instead of worrying and fretting, I could take that and put that in my spiritual reserve for when those dry times come, when those financial need times come, I can look back and put that in my spiritual reserve and say, hey, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. How about this? Man, there's been times I've had my Bible, didn't get nothing out of it. Been times I've prayed, seemed like it just went up to the ceiling and come right back down. And I know, hey, I know God's God. Hey, if anybody's moved, we have. God hadn't moved. But you know, I can look back in my life. Man, there's been times I've took this old King James Bible out and read it, and it's been a little bit different. I took it out. I remember one morning I was leaving to go to work, and I had about 30 minutes left before I left, and I took my Bible out and read. Man, it jumped off the pages. Man, jumped out from my eyes and moved down in my heart. Man, the... glory juice got to squirting out of my eyes. And man, we had a spell in the bathroom. Put that in my spiritual reserve. And I could go on and on all night long. And I'm going to tell you what, hey, the Apostle Paul had a spiritual reserve. Look real quickly. Back in 2 Timothy, I promise, I'm going to quit lying to you. Say amen right there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look in verse number 17. I'll give you time to get there. I'm talking about spiritual, having a spiritual reserve so you can finish. Listen to this, 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. If anybody in the world had a reason to quit, it'd been the Apostle Paul. That's exactly right. You read that in Corinthians. But notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now listen to verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me. There's that reserve. He had a spiritual reserve. I mean, he's looking at what God had already done. He's looking exactly what God had already brought him from. And he transitions to exactly what God done. Now he's transitioning from verse 17 to verse 18. And now he's looking in the future. Listen to verse 18. And the Lord shall. That's future tense. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory forever and ever. And I say what the Apostle Paul did. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. The devil's going to try to fight you to quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Hey, heaven's nigh. Heaven's close. His coming's very close. Hey, He said He'd be with us until what? The end. Man, I'm glad we've got a sympathizing Savior that's not going to leave us, not going to tuck and run. Hey, He's got all power, and He's able to help you and able to give you exactly what you need. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Let's preacher, if he'll go ahead and come on up here and take control of the service.